Today we have the very great grace of having His Excellency Bishop Bernard Follet with us. Bishop Follet conferred confirmation on 55 candidates yesterday. Very great grace for our parish, and I generously offered to celebrate this sung mass today. So I will read to you the epistle and the gospel, and then His Excellency will give you the sermon. The epistle for this Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I do not have charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and I do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity is not envy, does not deal perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeks not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never falls away, whether prophecies shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12, and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and scourged, and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they did not understand any of these things, and this word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus standing commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Please be seated.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear brethren, you have heard it this week. We start one of these very, very special times of the year. We are entering Lent. And we know that that time is given to us for special exercises. We call it penance, mortification, renouncement. And this invitation is very serious. Now, we are not masochists. That is, we are not these sick people who are going to hurt themselves for the pleasure of hurting themselves. And the church wants this to be very clear before we start going into this penance, which may be hard, by giving us two perspectives. The one we hear in the gospel. Why is the church inviting us to do penance? And at the beginning of the gospel, we hear our Lord announcing to his apostles, "We go to Jerusalem, and Jesus is going to suffer. He will be scourged. He will be mocked. He will go into this passion. He will die." And that's the fundamental reason why we do penance. Because we want to prepare our souls for these so serious days when God Himself, made flesh, made human, through His human nature, will suffer and die for us. We want to show to God that we regret what you have done. We want to unite ourselves with Him. That's why we must not forget this when we do penance. We want to prepare ourselves for these holy days. We call it the Holy Week. The highest week of the whole year, where through this penance, through this will to mortify ourselves, to regret our sins, we may receive all these graces of the redemption. Another perspective, which goes in fact in the same direction, we find in the epistle of today. You heard it. It is the chapter 13 of the first epistle to the Corinthians. It is also called the hymn to charity. And we need to understand the place of charity in our life. And then it's easy to make the link to precisely these penance, these good works which we're invited to do. First, remember this. For God Himself, charity is so important that He gave it as the definition of Himself. God is charity. And then, the first commandment, which is at the same time the summary of all commandments, is the commandment of charity. You shall love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. God requests that we love Him without keeping anything for us. He wants it all. He has given us, by creating us, a tremendous capacity, the capacity to love. This one is called the will. And God has made the will to love the good, the goodness. And in fact, we cannot love anything but what appears to us as good. When we do something bad, we are keen enough to paint it in good. We're cheating ourselves. There are, you understand that, all kinds of loves, because there are all kinds of goods. And since the original sin, when we start to love, we miss one point. It is precisely this hierarchy of goods. There are lower goods, there are higher goods, and the lower are there for the best, for the greatest. I'll give you an example. The food. God knows that we need to eat to survive. And so he has put some goodness in the food. Thank God. Imagine we had to eat without having any good taste. It would be terrible. But no, God did put this goodness. Not because of the food, but because we need that to survive, to live. And look at the people. So easily, we eat because it's good, without thinking anything else. And then you have all kinds of excesses because we switch it off, this link of these which are only means for a greater good, and we make it an end. There is a second commandment which our Lord himself say it is similar to the first. And it is a love to the neighbor. And this commandment to the neighbor says, I love my neighbor as myself. With this, we understand that there is a correct love to ourselves. And there, again, unfortunately, since the original sin, we have this horrible tendency of put the love to ourselves first, above even God. In fact, every time we sin, we do that. We prefer ourselves to God. And that's why we sin. We disobey because we think we are better than God. So you can see there are a lot of problems in this charity if we do not set it right. So we have to pay attention there. This charity of the neighbor, which God himself is presenting us to us as similar to the first, is then so important that God, through the mouth of St. John, is going to say, if you say you love God, but you don't love your neighbor, you're a liar. How that? God is good. He's good to me, so it's normal that I love him. The neighbor who is hurting me all the time, who is so mean against me, how could I love him the same way? Big problem, you see. Big problem. Well, let's try to put it straight. The love which is requested from us is not just human love. Every human being has this will, capable of loving, and in fact does love any kinds of things. But God wants us to go infinitely higher. We call it charity, just to distinguish between love and this other love, which is the supernatural love. The love we have to direct to God must be supernatural. And the love we have to give to our neighbor exactly must be also be supernatural. Saint Thomas, the great Saint Thomas, is giving us a very interesting key to that problem, saying to us, what does it mean to love the neighbor? I have to love my neighbor so that God may be in him. That's the true love to the neighbor. That God may be in him. And the measure of this love to the neighbor will be, I have to love my neighbor as much as God is in him. If someone is a saint, if he's closer to God, I must love him more than a poor sinner. But even the sinner, even someone who would be away from God, I still must pray, hope that one day he will convert, that God may be in him. Now look at the epistle of today. St. Paul is describing a lot of actions which seem to us very religious and at the same time spectacular. Like this one who has such a faith that he's capable of moving a mountain. Well, not everybody does that, isn't it? And he tells us, do I have that faith? Am I capable of moving a mountain? And do I do it? And continue by saying, but I do not have charity. It's worth nothing. Let us understand that well. There are certain actions which look fantastic, which are not yet that. He goes further saying, if I give all my deeds, all I have to the poor, wow, that's great, isn't it? All my belongings, I give them for the poor. And he continued by saying, and I do not have charity. How that? Isn't it to give our good to the neighbor? Isn't it charity? Well, St. Paul seems to say no, not yet. Yes, if I do that without this link to God, There can be many reasons. Look at the Freemasons. They do a lot of good. Yeah, they give money. They give money to the elderly people, to this and that. They do a lot of, let's say, good works in this world. But they don't do it for the love of God. They do it to impress the others, to get some praise, to win some other people. They don't do it for the love of God. And then, in front of God, these good works are worth nothing. And St. Paul to continue and say, if I give my life, I burn. I make an incredible sacrifice. But I don't have charity. It's worth nothing. So watch out. Watch out in what you do. Check yourself why you do it. If you don't do it for the love of God, it's worth nothing. There we touch the point. God wants us to love Him. He wants us to do everything out of the love to Him. All what we do, all, everything, for the love of God. Let me repeat this on another level. It is the Catholic theology who is telling us, when do we merit? You know that, well, our Lord said it to the apostles, so also to us. It's the will of the Father that you bring forth much fruit. So God wants us to be trees who bring forth much fruit. A lot of good works. And what is the worth of these good works? We call it the merit. We have to merit. And where do we take the merit of a good action? What makes an action meritorious? The human would say, well, a great action makes it a great thing. That's the way we judge everything. We see a beautiful church, we say, wow, that's a great work. We see a nice car, we say, that's a beautiful car. We say something rotten, we say, whoop, it's rotten. Trash. It's normal, it's human. It's not the way God looks at things. How does God look at things? The more charity we put in a work, the more worth it is. Let's take the Blessed Virgin Mary. Doing the dishes at home. Let's take Saint Peter. At the moment of his martyrdom, the head down, the feet up, on this cross, dying, offering his life for God. Which one of these two is pleasing God more? We would like to say, of course, martyrdom. Martyrdom is so greater, enormously greater than just doing the dishes. How could you say that doing the dishes is something so superb and magnificent? Isn't it? The way we look at things? I tell you, for God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, doing these works at home, the dishes, sewing, whatever, these so simple things of every day, is more pleasing, is more meritorious than the martyrdom. Because there is more charity in it. The Blessed Virgin Mary has such an enormous, tremendous charity. God has poured in her more holiness, more charity than in all the other creatures together. We can't grasp that. Her by herself put all the holiness you find in all the angels and in all the creatures, all the saints together. They do not reach to the holiness of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So holy, so full of charity she is. And so, in each one of her actions, she gives more glory to God than all the others together. And so it is true of every saint compared to the others. God does not look so much at the tremendous action. He looks at the tremendous charity which is in it. So we can do very, very simple actions and please God enormously. That's the way God looks at things. And it's so important that we understand that. So important. Little flower, Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, she understood that. And she said, we will be judged on charity. That will be on what we are going to be judged at the end of our life. Charity. If there is something we have to check every day, at the end of the day, examining our day, did I grow in charity? Did I really do everything for the love of God? It's the first commandment. It's the commandment which is really summarizing all the others. We do it, we do everything. We don't do it, we do nothing. So important. Let me give you two aspects of this charity. One, we call it communion of the saints. Those who are in charity participate to the good done by the others. The first of whom we benefit is our Lord. God is giving us, our Lord is giving us His sacrifice. You're here at Mass. That's the greatest thing you get today. You see, when you go at Mass, in fact, you receive, not only you are there while Jesus is repeating what He did at Calvary, He's offering His life for you. Not only that, He's giving this sacrifice to you. so that you may, with him, offer to God his sacrifice as if it would be yours, because Jesus has given it to you. That's the Mass. It's not just, which is absolutely enormous, our Lord dying on the cross, meriting for us. It's not only that. It's us with him. And Jesus is loving us so much that not only does he give us all he has done, but he takes what we are, what we have, for him. We come at Mass with worries, cares, difficulties of the day, and so on. He takes it as it will be his. When two people love themselves, they share that. So does Jesus with us. And if you forget it, don't worry, the priest doesn't. He does it for you. He really offers in your name, for you, his sacrifice. And if you don't believe me, please believe the church. At the offertory, at the end of the offertory, the priest is turning to you and he says, Orate fratres, pray, brethren, ut meum ac vestrum sacrificium, so that my sacrifice, which is also your sacrifice, may be pleasing God the Father. Of which sacrifice does the priest speak at that moment? He speaks of the Mass. And he says, the Mass is my sacrifice, but it's yours. It's yours. And we know the sacrifice of the Mass is the sacrifice of Jesus. Yes, absolutely. But because Jesus has given to you, it's yours. And Pius XII said that the best way to attend Mass is to embrace all the intentions of Jesus when he went to Calvary. When we go to Mass, we go to Calvary and we go with Jesus. And as Jesus is offering, is sacrificing himself, we must be ready to sacrifice also ourselves. But with him, in him. That's what we are going to say at the end of the canon. The priest is going to say, per ipsum, cum ipso, in ipso. That means through him, in him, with him. It's our Lord. Omnis honor et gloria. Absolutely every honor and glory which is given to God. And that's why we're on earth, to glorify God. The only way to do it is through him, in him, with him. Because he loves us. And to love means to be one with the beloved. And this love we have in our Lord is then extending to all the neighbor, to all the other Christians, because God loves them equally as he does us. In such a way that there is a communication. We call it the communion of saints. Listen well to this one. You see someone do a good work. You can offer this good work to God. And it's not robbery. Because of the communion of saints, when you do something good, all the Catholics, you understand well, all the Catholics benefit of it.
You do one good action, the fruit of it goes to everybody. And reverse in all directions. That's why we can really offer the good of the others. You see, we are so stupid. Sometimes we see people, they get jealous because the others, they seem to be better, because they seem to do good and so on. How stupid we are. Instead of just offering that, it's ours. Through the communion of saints. You see, that's quite a different perspective on things. That's the perspective of God. That's charity to the neighbor. So, let's go today to St. Paul, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to our Lord, and beg Him to have a better understanding of this charity and of practicing it correctly, the right way. That we really go into this land with great desires to be purified, to do this renouncement for the love of Him, for the care of Him. May I guarantee you, He takes care of you. The more you care of God, in God, the more He will take care of you. You can forget about yourself. If you care about Him, He will take care of everything. All your worries, everything, absolutely everything. I would finish with one more thought. It's a real story. There were two sisters, and one day they had a big clash. Terrible one. They would not talk to one another anymore. Just ignore. Nothing. Nothing to do anymore. These two poor sisters. And one of them, she wanted to go back to get in good relation with her sister. The other did not want anything to hear. And one day she was told, every time you think at your sister, good or bad, ask God to bless her. Ask God to give to your sister the best, the greatest graces. And that she did. It did not last 3 weeks that the other sister came back in tears. You see how it works. Never, never give back evil. And we know that we receive quite a number of bad things. Never give back. What you give back is the way God gives back. You give charity back. You wish the good. You wish the best. You desire and you do the best to your neighbor. That's the best way to do our Lent. Uniting all the rest, all our little sacrifices or great sacrifice, everything. And we can be sure that we please God. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.